Welcome once again to Resolved. We all encounter difficult issues at times. Life can get tough, and it may seem impossible. But no matter what, Jesus Christ is the answer, and through Him, we can rise up and be more than conquerors. Now, let's join Pastor Tom Porter.
We run the race with patience. The Bible says that we're to endure hardness with patience. 2 Timothy 2:3 says that. Endure hardness. Also, it says endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And some Christians, I'm sad to say, try to go to heaven on flowery beds of ease. Now, I'm from the country, and I like it that way. But there are, and so I'm not used to reading Old English. But you all know this guy, he was a good preacher, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. 240 years ago in 2 months, he preached this sermon. Now, I'm not going to read it to you, it's about 20 pages long. But he gives a description of Christians going through their Christian walk on beds of flowers. And even this country boy could understand it, and I got a smile out of it. It's pretty good. He writes, in reference to what a Christian is, there have been very many and diverse opinions. According to the notions of some, a Christian is an exquisite of remarkability, delicate tastes. To some, the highest form of Christian is a great reader, a profound student of the best of books, for the purpose of composing spiritual riddles. He cares most for things which have the least practical bearing. He is a peeper through spiritual spyglasses, fancying that he can interpret what wiser men leave to God to expound. For him, to live is to enjoy and not to serve. To gratify his selfishness, he would blot out the free invitations of the gospel. He is not a hearer only, but certainly he is not a doer. He is a hearer and a feeder, in a certain coarse sense, upon the word of God and nothing more. That is not Paul's idea of a Christian. He does not picture him with a napkin in his hand, sitting at a banquet table, but rather with a sword girt upon his thigh, ready for conflict. Wow. Well, what is a good soldier? He writes, Paul does not appear to have pictured true believers as sluggards sound asleep upon the downiest beds. His description of a Christian is in the text of that of a soldier. And may I remind you, it says a good soldier. There's a difference. We don't want people of Temple Baptist Church to be good people. We desire that we be godly people. There's a difference. Godly people. Paul does not exhort Timothy to become a common or ordinary soldier, but to be a good soldier. All soldiers, all true soldiers may not be good soldiers. So we have a list, a brief list of what is a good soldier. Number one, he must be loyal to his king. A good soldier is loyal to his king. A good soldier might not like the king, but he is loyal to the king. And I know that firsthand. I had a father who's an officer in the United States Army. And I have seen him in the presence of the President of the United States. And there's just something about the commander-in-chief. He is loyal. They are loyal. They might not agree. They might disagree. Especially in our day today with our commander-in-chief, but they are to be loyal to the commander. We are to be loyal as Christians, as good soldiers for Jesus Christ, and hello, he never changes. He never gets voted in and voted out of office. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so our commander-in-chief, hey, we need to be loyal to him. Secondly, another characteristic of a good soldier is that he is obedient to his captain's command. We need to be obedient to the commands of God's word. Thus saith the Lord. God speaks about something that we should do or something we should not do, we need to be obedient to the Word of God. We are doing all the Master's will. Are we doing it? Are you doing all that God's asked you to do? That's a question for you to ponder this afternoon. I want you to go home. I want you to say, God, am I doing everything you've asked me to do? Everything you've asked me to do? I have seen people come down to the end of their life dying, and they will confess to me, you know, God called me to do something. My great-grandfather said, God called me to be a preacher, and I never did it. I'm named after him, William Thomas Brummett. And he was a good man. But he missed God's call in his life, and he regretted it. At his dying day, he said, man, I should have done that. I really should have. I regret that I didn't do that. And isn't it funny, ironic, something, God's will, that God would call me into the ministry. Do we wish to know the Master's will? Number one, are you doing what God's asked you to do? And number two, are you asking him what he would have you to do? Or do you just sit on the sidelines, sit in the stands and say, man, well, I don't want to pray too much. You know, I don't want you to ask me to do anything. I'm really comfortable the way I am right now. The third matter of a good soldier is to mind is that to be a first-class soldier worthy of service is to conquer will be his ruling passion. To conquer, to win, ought to be our ruling passion. And we'll talk about this word conquer in a moment. My father had a philosophy of battle. His philosophy was, I expect the enemy to be there. My dad did two tours of Vietnam, and he was in battle both tours, blown out of a helicopter on a mine where the helicopter landed, and it lands on a mine. It doesn't detonate until you come off of it, and it detonated, killing one of the soldiers in a Huey helicopter, maiming two of them, and left him in a mass unit with shrapnel in his face, above his eye, and a lot of shrapnel in his leg. We got a call on 4th of July. We were out in Arkansas, living there close to my mom's parents, and we were out visiting somebody in Western Union. We got that phone call. It's a call you never want to get as a wife of a husband who's in the military, who's out in fighting in battle. And so we know about that, those types of things. But my dad's philosophy is, I make the enemy wish they never showed up for battle. He puts all his effort, everything, every firepower to his disposal to winning. And we've got the Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit that lives within us. We've got everything. God's equipping us with everything we need. We need to yield to that, and we need to do it. We need to have purpose in our mind that we are going to do this, that we are going to see people come to know Christ. We're going to give out God's Word. We're going to share our faith with those about us. We need to do this. My dad, one time, before he died, I had to go and set things up and as executor of the state and the firstborn and all of that, and a lot of responsibility. And listen, I thank God for the experience that I had to have to go to nursing homes and look at a place to put my father in. I thank God for that experience because I can really sympathize with you that are having to go through that, the baby boomers now that are having to take care of mom and dad and all the struggles that go with that. My brother and I went from nursing home to nursing home, and it just broke my heart. I said, man, God, my dad could not live. You know, it just broke my heart. And I'm not knocking nursing homes. They are needed. God knows they're needed. God bless the nursing homes and the rehab centers that we have in this town and the nurses and the medical profession that we have in this town. God bless them, because there are times when those things are needed. Those things are needed. But I recall going into one place that had home health care. I thought, that's the answer, because Dad had home health care. They had that. Margaret came in every day, almost 7 days a week. She cooked their meals and cleaned their clothes and cleaned the house and did everything, ran the errands for them, everything. And then Mom passed away, and then Margaret couldn't just handle my dad. She just, she was 72 years young. She couldn't do it anymore. So I went to a home health agency, and I walked in, and I told them who I was, and I was talking to this lady, and I talking about my dad being an officer in the Army, and the lady goes, Bob Porter, I've heard my husband talk about Bob Porter. Was he in Vietnam? I said, yes, ma'am. What company? Charlie Company. We went on and on. She picked up the phone, and she called her husband. She said, you won't believe it. I got Tom Porter here, Bob Porter's son. Do you remember a Bob? Didn't you talk about Bob? He said, yeah. He was my commander in Vietnam. He said, I was 17 years old. So he said, put Tommy on. And so I got on the phone, and he told me a story I'll never forget. I'm talking about a good soldier. My dad was a soldier, but he was a good soldier. Omar Bradley, General Omar Bradley, people wrote about him and said he was a soldier's soldier. Or he was soldier's soldier. And later on, my dad comes on the scene, and he was known as a soldier's soldier. My father would go to weddings when he could, when he was brigade commander. Then he was commanding general of the 82nd Airborne at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. He would go to funerals if he could. He had a heart for his troops. On his dying bed, I heard him say to the commanding officer at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, he said, tell the men I love them. Tell the troopers I love them. Man, he was a good soldier. He said, this man on the phone I'd never met before that knew my father, that was running a home health care agency. He said, let me tell you about your dad. He said, I was 17 years old, just got drafted in, and I went to boot camp, and I was sent off to the jungles of Vietnam. And he said, we had a big firefight. Man, your dad had all kinds of firepower, and we had to evacuate some of the guys that were wounded. Us that were healthy, we had to stay overnight out there in the jungles. And he said, when the last helicopter was about to pull out, he said to the pilot something. And he said, and about an hour and a half later, a Huey helicopter came back. And we thought, man, all the wounded has been evacuated. What's this helicopter coming back for? It sounds crazy, but you have to be in the jungles of Vietnam at 17 years of age to know how appreciative you are to a half a pint of vanilla ice cream. My dad said, hey, go back and bring some ice cream for my men. And he said, man, I'll never forget that. And when I left, I said to his wife, and she was on speakerphone, and I said to his wife, I said, well, you know, if my dad gets out of the hospital, if he lives and has to come out of the hospital, I hope you take care of my father. And she said, we have to. Your dad fed my husband ice cream in the battle in Vietnam. That's a good soldier that says, I'm going to conquer, I'm going to win, whatever the cost, whatever it takes. And while I'm going on that race, I'm going to encourage my men and my women, and I'm going to encourage them to do what's right. And that's what we ought to, as good soldiers, that's what we ought to do. And then lastly, a good soldier is very brave at a charge. They don't turn and run away. They stand upon the Word of God. We Christians, we stand upon the Word of God, and I'm afraid it's going to get tougher as the days go on. It's going to get tougher. We're going to see our liberties that the lost is going to try to take away from us. We need not let that happen. We need to press forward to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ, to share our faith with others, to encourage other Christians, and not let that go by. Have you ever failed to witness to somebody and it haunted you after that? I have, a couple of times. I was at Jump Off Baptist Church. That's a name for a church. Those Baptists have funny names, don't they? Jump Off Baptist Church, up in the mountains of Tennessee. And a Sunday school girl, she said, would you go by and visit my mom and dad? They were drunks, they were alcoholics. Would you go by next week? Would you go by next week? Would you go by? I drop her off at the house, dirt road. She'd get out and go into this little single wide trailer. Would you go by and tell them about Jesus? Next Sunday, he got up there, the trailer was burnt. He torched his wife, who was drunk in a stupor, and he shot himself, and they both burned up in the trailer. I'll never forget that. I'll go to my grave thinking about that. About 2 years ago, I was coming in to listen to a chapel service, and there was a man outside that glass door on his knees, folded right up to the brick wall, a bicycle leaning against one of the pillars, his hands like this. He's on his knees, and he's praying. Eyes are shut, mouths are moving in prayer. And I saw him, and I just kept on, and I sat back in that back chair. And the Holy Spirit said, you're missing an opportunity. Now, I'll have to confess, we have people come by here and lie to us, right, just bold-faced lies, why they need stuff. and it just grieves you. And occasionally, the Holy Spirit pricks my heart and says, this person is genuine. But 90% of them, they're lying. We've given them food, and we've watched them throw it in the trash can on the way out. We've had a guy says, I'm going to Miami, and I ain't got no gas in my truck. So I went over there, and I pumped $20 worth of gas. I said, now, where are you headed? We're going to Miami. Everybody, where is Miami from here? It's that way. He got out on US 1 and went that way, okay? So unless there's a Miami, Michigan, he went the wrong way. Holy Spirit pricked my heart as I was sitting there and says, Porter, you're missing it. Get up there and go see that guy. And I'm telling you, not more than 20, 30 seconds passed. I got up. I walked out. He was nowhere to be seen. Nowhere to be seen. I actually went outside. I went out to the highway over the tracks, looked down the south, looked down north, walked around the buildings. I thought, man, I missed it. I missed an opportunity. I missed an opportunity. I don't want us missing a lot of opportunities. We do that, and I hope we don't do that. We want this kind of fixed, resolve, preserving goodness in our churches, and we shall have it if we are good soldiers for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hello, friends. This is Pastor Tom Porter of Temple Baptist Church in Titusville, Florida. I would like to thank you for joining me in this podcast and bringing the good news that Jesus Christ is the risen Savior. There is no problem too big and no blessing too small when Jesus is the Lord of our lives. I would like to ask you a question. When you die, where will you spend eternity? Will you spend it with Jesus forever or be eternally separated from Him? You know, the Bible says, "Whosoever calleth upon the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved from their sins." You know, it's God's desire for you to have faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. Your sins have separated you from God. You must admit to God that you're a sinner and ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. Jesus bridges that gap between you on this earth and heaven. Will you accept Jesus as your personal Savior today? It's easier than you think. You can pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I admit to you that I'm a sinner. I realize that you paid the penalty for my sins on the cross, and I want to receive you into my life right now. Save me from my sins. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer with me, then you've been born into the family of God.
That's our program for today. Thanks for listening to Resolved. Please visit us online at www.templebc.net. And remember, Jesus is Lord. So take care, and God bless you.